on web snappers. My spider sense is tingling.
Spider sense tells me that I'm in for some trouble.
My spider sense is picking up trouble.
Anybody else's spider sense tingling?
Welcome to Walloping Web Snappers, a Spider-Man podcast where we dive into every Spider-Man cartoon ever made. I'm Doug.
And I'm Derek.
And is your spider sense tingling?
Oh, wait. Whoa. We just got 30 million views, Doug.
Oh.
Our podcast just got 30 million views.
Damn. Wow. I could pay off all my student loans now.
Yeah.
Well, we would love, of course, to take a quick moment to thank our spectacular patrons, Bo, Carl, Eric, Katie, Jason, Zoe, James, and Keith. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, Derek.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready to talk about the most iconic villain team in Spider-Man history?
Well, before we do, I know you really want to get to this really iconic villain team, but hold on, everyone. Hold on to your seats. We will get there. I know you've all, for the entire history of the podcast, been begging us to talk about this villain team. It's finally they've made it into a show. Finally.
Yeah.
We're not there yet. We got important business. We do have word snappers words from last week, which you might be thinking, there were word snappers words when you just re-released Patreon episodes, but guess what? We did record a little tiny bit of new material to introduce those episodes to you, right?
And Derek's that good.
And I'm just that good. I'm just that good, man. Obviously, I'm going to put these words in an episode that, like, who knows how many people are actually going to end up listening to it. I don't know. But the
30 million.
The words. 30 million. That's right. We got 30 million views on our Halloween episode. It just felt appropriate that on Halloween, we're always eating lots of candy, having lots of snacks. That's what Halloween's all about, right? You dress up in a costume and you eat a bunch. That's what people do on Halloween. So, of course, people are going to be gobbling down Spidey snacks, which are the words that were submitted on Patreon by Zoe.
Yes.
Love. And to be clear, it's goblin like Green Goblin. Like, that's the pun. So
I like it.
So,
Very good, Zoe.
It's very good. And you know, if we were actually talking about an episode like with a goblin in it or something, there would have been a great way to work into it. Of course, it happens during a time when like Harry Osborn is even in the fucking show. So
but perfect for Halloween.
Perfect for Halloween. So it worked out. I mean, it's goblin down is a good pun for Halloween, even separate from Spider-Man. So like A-plus timing for that. So yeah.
But Halloween is over and we're here to talk about
the Wake Riders.
Wake Riders. Finally. I've always wanted to talk about Wake Riders. Always wanted to talk about Wake Riders.
I watched this episode and immediately went and got a full back piece tattoo of the Wake Riders.
they're like incredibly intricately designed costumes. Sentai team. If Sentai teams were kind of lame.
Oh.
Like, truly have to get that design tattooed on you.
Yeah.
I can't keep up this bit for that much longer, man.
We have an episode here and we're going to talk about it and it's fine.
You know, I've got video games to play tonight. I'm okay to just get this done very quickly and wrap it up.
Let's go.
the episode we're talking about, Marvel's Spider-Man 2017 season 2 episode 4, entitled Rise Above It All.
The stunts are our everything, bro. We fly, snowboard, surf. If it's cool and dangerous, Barkley Blitz and the Wake Riders are there, and the fans just eat it up.
Right, of course. You're the I'm sorry, I don't know who you are.
Oh man, I can't believe you did a stunt with the Wake Riders.
First, I thought they were some kind of vulture army, but they turned out to be awesome. You're a fan?
Yeah. You're the number one trending topic right now. Not like menace trending, but like people actually like you trending.
Hey, Harry!
Whoa, Pete!
Didn't know you were a fan of the Wake Riders.
You know about the Wake Riders all the way over there in Europe? Does everyone know about them except me?
You used me.
Yep, and now you're all used up.
Being right really hurts.
The synopsis per IMDb is Spider-Man infiltrates a superstar stunt group known as the Wake. Oh, this says Wave Riders. I copied and pasted this directly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. I can't believe IMDb got this iconic villain team's name completely wrong.
Rude.
It's very important to them. It's not Wave Riders, IMDb. It's Wake Riders. but he infiltrates them to determine what their end game is for their stolen Vulture tech. Wouldn't say he infiltrates them. What, yeah. No, whatever. You know what? They probably forgot about the episode right after they watch it before they're doing this IMDb thing. And you know what? After we end up talking about this, I'm going to also forget all about this episode and never think about it ever again. So, you know, original air date was July 2nd, 2018. Interestingly, this episode was written by Mark Hoffmeyer, who we've run into many times on the 90s show. He's one of, I would say, the better writers on the 90s show.
Yeah.
Like, many of his episodes are absolute bangers, including like the Daredevil two-parter. All of your funniest episodes are written by Mark Hoffmeyer. This is his only credited episode on the show, so I don't know what's happening there. why he showed up and wrote this one, which again, not a piece of shit episode or anything, but
it's aggressively fine.
It's aggressively adequate and fine. Yes. Also, it was directed by Sol Choi, who's one of like the good directors of the show too. So I don't understand how this episode is the way it is at all. I truly don't. It's like, was everyone just phoning it in asleep at the wheel for this one? Seems like it. I don't know.
A couple highlighted characters here that I would love to mention. We get Barkley Blitz, who is sort of like the leader of the Wake Riders, and he is voiced by OG Banks, who we know very well. We've talked about him a bunch because he voices Luke Cage, aka Power Man, in Ultimate Spider-Man. So we know this guy. We also are introduced, and only briefly here, from someone named Gabby Flankman, who I think they only refer to in the show as the promoter, who is voiced by Audrey Wasilewski. Who's been in kind of everything, but almost always in like a supporting role. So it's like, name a show that you've seen before, and she's probably in it, either as a voice or on camera. She seemingly does it all.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild, honestly.
Yeah, it really, because I was like, we were talking about this before we even started recording. I was like, oh, I recognize that name. I think I know who that is. And then, like, I'm scrolling through what she does, and I'm like, I don't think I do. Like, I mean, there's not anything where it's sort of like, I was looking at it like, oh, that's what I know her from. It's sort of like, oh no, I think I've just seen her name in the credits of like hundreds of cartoons and shows and video games. And it's just imprinted in my brain because I've seen it. But like, I don't know. Like, and that's, I don't know that that says anything about, like, it doesn't, I don't know if it really says anything about her. I think she's just like a working actor who does tons of incidental voices. The one thing that like Spider-Man thing that I think was interesting that stood out to me is that she voiced Black Cat in the Spider-Man Friend or Foe video game.
I was just looking at that.
have you played that game?
No.
It's not good. I wouldn't recommend it. It's not, I'm not a fan.
Okay.
The conceit of it is a fun idea because it's very silly and doesn't take itself seriously. The conceit of it is like, it's complicated, but basically Spider-Man gets to team up with various villains. And so you get to play as Spider-Man and his villains at the same time. And there's just, that's a fun dynamic.
Do I get to be Doc Ock then?
Yeah, like you can team up, and it's all.
How
it's all
dare
based
you tell me not to play it?
It's all based in like the Raimi movies too, so it's like a lot of it's similar to their design. So it's like the Venom design has the webs on it. The Green Goblin design is the, you know, the ugly like tokusatsu Green Goblin suit that he has. But it's the gameplay just really sucks in that game. Like it's not a fun game to play. Cool idea. I wish that it was better, but she's Black Cat in it. So that's cool.
It's not like she's not done cool stuff. Like I could list stuff off. Mm-hmm. It's just like nothing that necessarily is stuff we would highlight. She's been in a bunch of stuff. Okay.
She
has like two lines in this episode.
Okay. But also like how telling is it that we've got a villain team of like four people and the only ones we can highlight are like the leader and then their promoter. Like no one else even really like says much of anything. Nobody has any names or personalities. Like going into the episode, if you're going to have a villain team, I do think that that is kind of a black mark that like, it's kind of telling that you have one character with lines. Everyone, they're even color coded. It will be so easy for like every character out of a very broad, simple archetype to make the team members distinct. But like, nope, we know Barkley Blitz and their promoter. No, nobody else.
I believe the other Wake Riders are credited as Wake Rider number 1, Wake Rider number 2, and female Wake Rider.
Ew, stop. Stop. Come on, show. You're better than that.
Yeah, they Ew. Are.
Now maybe I'm actually going from this episode being fine to maybe actively disliking it. And we haven't even really started talking about it.
No, it's just like, it's just fine.
But also, like, there's plenty of room in this episode to give the Wake Riders some personality. So I don't whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
yeah,
should
yeah.
just talk about it yeah. and get this over with, I guess.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's talk about what this episode is. So this episode opens with Spider-Man watching another Jameson news story lambasting him. He reflects on his first year or so as a superhero, kind of being like, look, I get that it hasn't been perfect. I get that I've made mistakes. But I feel like people should cut me a little slack. I've done some pretty good stuff. I don't know why this Jameson guy hates me so much. And then he starts thinking, like, surely other superheroes fuck up every once in a while, and starts sort of fantasizing about, like, what those like mistakes might look like for the Hulk or Iron Man. And while he's sort of distracted daydreaming about these other superhero mistakes, he is just suddenly grabbed and thrown about through the air by funny. A bunch of flying daredevils, not daredevils like the superhero, like actual stunt daredevils.
Yeah.
Who can
yeah.
fly.
Sure.
And they fly him like well beyond his ability to web swing. Like they're basically mm-hmm. doing what the original comics did with Vulture and basically said, like, you know, the reason he's scary is because he can bring you higher than you should go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like the chaos of this at the opening too. Cause yeah. you know, we don't know who the fucking Wake Riders are or whatever, no. Or what they're doing or why. So like it is, there's actually something kind of scary about Spider-Man just being whisked out of the sky, mm-hmm. thrown higher into the sky. And then just yeah. being like, well, if you don't cooperate with us, you're literally going to fall to your death. So he's,
yes.
he has to. And they're not saying that to him explicitly, but like to him, that's the scenario that's happening. Like that's what he's got to do.
Can I tell you, when this episode started and it became clear that he was like helpless among these people because he was like mm-hmm. higher in the air and risked like falling to his horrible death if he didn't just like play along with them, I mm-hmm. really thought this was going to be an episode where he built himself some like web wings. Oh, fully thought that's what was going to happen. But no, it's all about this stunt group. And he does realize, like, if I don't play along, I'm going to die. So he plays along with the stunt. They finish the stunt. And it turns out the crowd below loves it. Right after he watched this whole newscast about how everyone hates him, people are finally cheering for him.
Yeah. Yeah. There is one point where they, like, somehow they shoot a bunch of, like, glowing rings in the sky essentially yeah. like and shoot Spider-Man through it, and it's like, oh, that's like right out of like a Spider-Man video game of like,
yeah,
magic, just fly through the rings perfectly, man.
I thought the same thing. It really did feel yeah. like a video game.
Yeah.
Well, after the show concludes, the show being the stunt concludes, the Daredevils drop Spider-Man onto a nearby roof, and they do introduce themselves as Barkley Blitz and the Wake Riders, lovers of all things extreme. They basically say, like, whether it's snowboarding, rollerblading, they like list off a bunch of stuff. And it made me think of the intro to the Power Rangers movie where they just go from like one extreme sport to the other in their like color coded costumes. I was yeah. like, oh, that's oh who these God. Kids are.
That's exactly who they are. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they explain, look, we've got 17 million followers. And honestly, if we team up with you and with this new flight gear that we just tested out successfully, I bet we're going to get even more followers. Spider-Man's like, I don't know who you are. I've never heard of you before, but I want to know more about that gear because it seems kind of familiar to me. He did mistake them for the Vulture earlier, so it's easy for us to sort of draw the conclusion that he thinks it's Vulture tech.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks like Vulture tech.
Yeah.
So that's sure. obviously what they're doing here. But Barkley's like, I make all my own stuff. Like, I don't know why you're even asking, because like I made this. Anyway, did you want to team up with us? Because we could be Spider-Man and the Wake Riders. And Spider-Man's just like, what is happening? I don't understand yeah. anything that's happening. And then they just like give him a location and a date and fly off. Like,
yeah.
truly yeah. disorienting. Like, this probably it's all been, happened in, like, a span of, like, 7 minutes, and Spider-Man yeah. has no clue what just happened.
Yeah, very disorienting. The only thing that I really have to say about this is that you cut to the promoter, like, you know, promoting the, you know, amping up the crowd and promoting the Wake Riders, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
She's selling T-shirts for $5.
Dude.
She says t-shirts are $5.
No, they're not.
When's the last time a t-shirt at an event, especially for something like this, has been $5? Like 1975? Like, what
I was
going to
say,
about?
I in my lifetime have never bought a t-shirt outside of a thrift store for $5.
Yeah. Like, what are you
especially
doing?
Especially with a graphic
one
on it.
Like, you know that this is like concert price that right. She's selling on the street for this. Are you kidding me?
I might be able to get like a solid color V-neck from Target on a day when it's on sale for $5.
Right. God. Is the lady just a bad promoter? Like, I don't know. I was going to say, like, I mean, it's all, it ends up being a cover for Crime or whatever, but like, they are also trying to be famous and do this. Yeah. So like, she should be better at promoting. They should be, they want to make money. Yeah. Whatever. It's a $5. Where are you? Who are you?
Who did this? Who's what responsible? Year is this? The other thing worth mentioning is as the group flies off, we cut to Adrian Toomes watching from like a couple blocks away and like scowling as you see them in the distance, like flying away. So like it becomes very clear very early that it is not just a suspicion of Spider-Man that this is Vulture Tech, but that it is very clearly in some way related to, ripped off of, or literally Vulture Tech.
Yes.
Why else show Adrian Toomes, you know?
Right, exactly. The next day, Peter is surprised to learn that Miles actually is a huge fan of the Wake Riders. And
I do love, okay. Because this group is no one we've ever heard of before, that Peter just doesn't know who they are and is surprised by literally everyone who's a fan of them. I do find that very funny, where it's like, What do you mean you're a big fan of them? Who are they? Like,
yeah, it's funny because it's like, you know, in universe, it's just like, oh, Peter's just kind of out of touch. But like out of universe, like he's almost kind of like the audience because it's sort of like, yeah, who has heard of the Wake Riders? What are you talking about? when did you become a big fan of this? What?
Right.
Yeah, it is funny. But yeah, Peter's like, I don't know. I kind of thought they were like the Vulture Gang at first, but I guess everyone's saying that they're really popular, especially learning that the video got 30 million views. So Spider-Man is in a very popular internet video. And Peter gets a call from Harry, which is perfect timing. So we do actually get a Harry appearance in this episode, which is weirdly a rarity in the season.
And confirmation that he is and is still in Europe. He's like sitting at a European cafe.
And Peter's like, you know about this like famous viral internet trend in all the way in Europe? I'm like, Peter, you know how the internet works, buddy, don't you? Like, what?
You're able to contact him in Europe.
Yeah, but it's whatever. It's silly. But yeah, I mean, Harry's just like, yeah, they're great. And Peter's like, by the way, you know if any like the Vulture Tech has been stolen from Oscorp? Like, you would know that, right? And Harry's like, dude, chill, just enjoy this. It's fine. There's nothing bad's happening. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit confused because it's like, don't we find out later that they did literally steal Vulture Tech though? So like, or I guess
well,
they did.
Harry,
they built it.
It's not that Harry. I don't think. I mean, I guess I'd have to go back and watch. But like again, but. I don't think that Harry says explicitly, no, nothing has been stolen. I think he kind of says, like, I've been away for a while, but I haven't heard anything big. I feel like it's kind of the vibe that he gave.
There have been thefts or whatever, but nothing, but no Vulture Tech or nothing like that. Which actually, you know what? No, it checks out because they never just steal the Vulture's technology. They steal like components, I think, that they then can use for Vulture stuff, right? Or I guess that's what they're doing for the rocket suit at the end. But I guess you could assume that's what they've been doing. So it's not like they just steal a Vulture suit. They've just like stolen things that they can then use to build Vulture Tech, which if you are Harry, you're not seeing that as stolen Vulture Tech. You're just seeing like some random thefts that is always going to happen with a corporation.
Exactly. I was going to say, it also gives the vibe of like, corporation understanding, like, yeah, people are always going to be trying to like take shit from us, so like if they were literally taking it, but you're right, I don't think they are. Even if they were literally taking it, I still feel like Harry would be like, shit's stolen all the time, man. But also it's not even just that. Harry does confirm, like, yeah, I know Barkley Blitz, he's actually famous for making his own stuff. So like, this guy does have a reputation for at least being capable of building things.
Makes sense.
So I think it's meant to make us confident that Barkley's not lying about making things, even if he's not telling the full truth about how he does it or where it comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that all checks out, actually. Yeah, that works. Well, you know, I mean, Harry's kind of calmed Peter down a little bit. So he's like, I guess the Wake Riders are fine. So he suits up to meet the Wake Riders for their next stunt, one in which Barkley flies into the stratosphere.
Sir.
Stratosphere. pretends his suit fails.
Sir.
Spider-Man catches him.
No.
Spidey's like, excuse me? And he's like, sorry, we're going to do it. He just like launches off. And Spider-Man's like, wait, I guess I have to save this guy now. That's not what I signed up for.
My favorite thing about it is Spider-Man's like, do you realize how fast you'll be going? How do you want me to catch you?
Yeah.
I guess the idea, I thought I had to really think about this because I was like, this is a terrible idea. But if he's pretending his suit doesn't work, I'm guessing that he always just was like, if he can't actually save me, I still will be able to save myself.
That's true. And Spider-Man's fear is that it's just like, would he do that fast enough? Or how far would he let this go?
Well, yeah.
Right. Like I mean, if I don't try to save, right. Like if I don't try to save him, is he just going to keep going until he splats, assuming that I will be able to save him? Right. So like that does make sense. It's still just like, good God. Like, yeah, very reckless, which, you know, make checks out in the, you know, the overall scope of the story that they're telling.
Yeah.
It's just like, good God. And Miles is around for all this. Like, they have a little scene where he's watching this go down and then decide, like, I'm going to be Spider-Man's promoter and make some money, and claims to be Spider-Man's promoter to compete with the Wake Riders. The Miles stuff in this episode is interesting. I guess that's not really the right word. I do think that there is something to Miles is already a fan of this group, but like is in, even though Miles is also a Spider-Man, is kind of like letting Peter have his fun. Like, because I feel like I would understand Miles just being like, but I like these guys. I want to be in their videos. I'm Spider-Man. Can I join you? Can I go with them? Can I do this too? Mm-hmm. And he like doesn't. And like, the cynical side of me is like, because they don't like him being Spider-Man and don't want him to be involved and want this to be a solo Peter thing.
Sure.
But I do would like to read it as a positive character trait that Miles is just like, Peter never gets to have fun. I'll let him have his fun. I'm enjoying living vicariously through him in this situation. Yeah. And I enjoy making a buck, and this is how I'm going to make a buck. And so he finds his role in this not being Spider-Man, you know?
I think this is all a lot of fun in the version of this show where Miles is just a supporting character. And I think it works okay in the version where he is a Spider-Man, because he just doesn't care about being a part of the stunts as much as he just is a fan of the stunts.
Yeah. Yeah. But it is the other, it is still like, though, this gets highlighted in a, you know, in a scene after this, but like the other thing that we touched on this last week, but the other thing about this episode is that like, there is also this sort of ongoing thing with Peter dealing with Jameson, you know, turning Spider-Man into a menace. So part of the reason that Peter is tempted to do this stuff with the Wake Riders is that it's like, oh, I'm getting positive attention for once and not being used as a menace. And there's still always that question of like, what does Miles think about this menace stuff? What does Jameson think about the second Spider-Man?
That
like, no, and everyone just avoids that aspect of it. There's one little line at the very end of the episode where Miles is sort of like references we when he's talking about being viewed by the public and people being okay with him. But like, I don't know what his perspective on all this stuff is. And I don't know if he's gotten the same hate that Peter has, or people even know that there's a second Spider-Man out there at all, you know?
That's what I was talking about last week. Like, we just don't even have enough information to sort of like have a passive understanding in the background. Like, there's just nothing coloring that situation at all. Like,
yeah.
And it's only weird. Worse with the Daily Bugle, as you've highlighted, you know?
Yeah. It's just, it's
but what's
weird.
Funny is if this episode doesn't like, hadn't spoiler alert, this is the one where Miles will finally suit up. If this one didn't have that, I think you could tell how I felt about this episode, because I was never really mad that Miles wasn't involved. just was sort of like, true. Okay.
No, I mean, and you know, like they do give him, like he's actually in the episode a lot. Like they give him stuff to do. It's just, they give him, you know, comic relief supporting character stuff to do. Which is fine and what they've been doing. It's just, you know, and I guess the stakes are really never really that high until the very end anyway. So it's not, this is one of those cases where it's sort of like, Peter never really needed to call Miles in to be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
If this is how it was every so often, it wouldn't be a big deal for me with the Miles stuff. It's just like, it sticks out in the grand scheme of things, you know, with the Miles situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. Well, as expected, the stunt does not go as planned, and Barkley comes in at the wrong location. So despite Spider-Man having prepared for this and taken on the task, and fully set up like a whole web for Barkley to land in, he still has to do it on the fly to ensure Barkley doesn't die horrifically. And the only way that he can do this is by fully ignoring an explosion elsewhere that he fully would have gone and investigated had he not needed to save this dude's life rocketing from space.
Right.
So I do like that predicament. I think that's an interesting predicament for him to be in.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very basic setup. Like, do you want, and it's like, you know, that question of like, would you rather have fame or would you rather, you know, do your job?
Yeah.
Do your great responsibility thing, right? And it's like that the choice is really never there for Peter in this episode. Like, it's always just sort of like, I should be doing that. It's more like he's kind of forced into a situation where it's sort of
that's
like
the thing I like
they're
about
making
it.
They're making me pursue fame and keeping me away from the responsibility side of things.
Right. That's what I like about it. There was never really a choice for him to ignore what was in front of him and go investigate the explosion.
Right.
Because he was being forced to deal with the thing in front of him.
Yeah. I think that works.
Yeah.
People love the stunt. They think it's really great. It works out in the end, but Spider-Man's like, I can't stick around. I got to investigate that explosion. And when he shows up, he finds Vulture there. But Vulture is like, no, you came late. The Wake Rider, I was actually coming there to investigate the explosion because I think the Wake Riders have been using their stunts to cover heists across the globe. And because Spider-Man arrived a little bit too late, he missed the real person actually doing the heists. Obviously, like, Spider-Man's like, that sounds like a cover story. This isn't real. But Vulture, like, actually stays pretty chill about all of this and says, I'm not a villain, Spider-Man. I'm a scientist who got blinded to what's right and wrong. Can you imagine what it's like being branded something you're not? Which obviously Spider-Man's dealing with the whole, like, being branded as a menace thing. So that parallel actually kind of, you know, works for him. Like that kind of wins him over a little bit. It resonates with him. I do think it's kind of funny that it's like in that parallel, Spider-Man's being branded a menace when he's not. Vulture being branded as a criminal. I mean, he was a supervillain and has actually been a criminal, to be fair. So it's not like he's branded something that he didn't do. He did do all of those things. It's more like his reputation and legacy going forward, which I think is a fair thing. Like, I made mistakes. I don't want that to be who I am known as for the rest of time. Right.
Yeah. So, which I think is a fun, interesting thing for a villain to sort of like wrestle with. And I think Adrian Toomes in particular is a good person as far as like character to have to go through that. It feels like right for him being sort of like a slighted scientist who is always kind of trying to like work towards recognition. And this is just another reason why people aren't giving him a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I mean, he wasn't doing the worst kinds of villainy in the first season either. No. Like it was mostly like he was doing Norman Osborn's bidding. And that kind of was where it stopped. But like, you know, he was never one of the evil bad guys. He was just like a very practical and just kind of egotistical kind of bad guy, you know? So
yeah,
it is interesting getting this story coming right off of the Doc Ock stuff though, because everything with Doc Ock was about him reforming and then in the end not being reformed. And here we have Vulture claiming to want to be reformed. And obviously it's not the same as the Doc Ock story, but there are some interesting similarities for episodes that are coming back to back, I will say.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
But we'll get more of that as we go along with it. Cause you know, Spider-Man's like heard. That does make me interested in what you have to say, and I'll think about it. But that conversation is interrupted by the Wake Riders, who show up looking for Spidey. Vulture uses that distraction to fly off, and in his wake, Barkley shares with Spider-Man the location of their next stunt.
Yes. Yes. So back at Horizon, Peter learns that every Wake Rider stunt does in fact coincide with a high-tech crime, but he's struggling to still believe the Vulture because the Vulture does have a criminal record and Barkley Blitz does not have a criminal record. And this is so close to being so interesting to me, especially in a kid's cartoon, but I don't know that they focus on this enough for me to be like satisfied with this as the takeaway. No. You know what I mean? Because yeah, it is really interesting for to really explicitly have Peter be like, well, that guy was convicted of a crime once, so he is a bad person. And this person has never been convicted of a crime, so they must be a good person. And having that be such a flawed metric for somebody's sort of like to make a judgment on somebody could have been a really interesting lesson for Peter to learn. And it's a lesson that he has learned in other iterations and stories and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's just not where this episode goes.
Yeah. I mean, that could not be your takeaway from the end of this episode.
No.
I think the reason that this episode is just flat fine is that like, it doesn't make mistakes narratively or whatever necessarily, but I do think it just chooses the absolute easiest route to take as it goes along. Like where this all wraps up is just sort of like, oh, okay, that's what all of this was here for. I mean, I guess that's what I expected and what I've seen before and what I could have very easily just written myself. Like you don't, it's just nothing. They're not even trying to do anything innovative. The themes are so basic in this episode, you know, and it's just like, and it's a children's cartoon. I get it. But like the show has just done more innovative things and interesting things and thematic things and played around in ways that is proven to be better than what this episode is. It just takes the easiest, most kind of boring route possible with this.
Right.
Stuff.
Anytime there's something that we run into where I'm like, that's kind of interesting. It's like I show up on that route and they like close the gate and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll keep going. And then I find something that's interesting and they close the gate and then I just keep going. Like, and it all ends up being a straight line.
Yeah, right.
I don't get to pursue any cool paths, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay. So Peter's wrestling with this. He doesn't really land anywhere because Miles swings by to ask Peter, hey, I got a big old stack of Spider-Man photos. Would you sign them? Because get this, the last stunt video you did with them got 40 million views. And if that's the case, if you sell a bunch of autographs and like keep teaming up with the Wake Riders, bada bing, bada boom, no more tuition troubles. Like, you're good to go, buddy. Which is, like, cute for Miles to want to help, but, like, we know it's not going to go that way, and Peter doesn't even entertain it. Like, he doesn't...
Yeah.
He's not even tempted by this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it never enters the equation as an actual motivation. He doesn't, like, regress into the version of Peter that tried to make money by wrestling, you know?
Right.
It's one of those paths that I tried to go on that they shut the gate on.
it could have been interesting. Yeah. I also, not to nitpick, but you said Miles swings by to ask Peter. I just need to make it clear to the listeners. He doesn't swing by as in web swinging.
He just walks by
because he of course is not suited up as Spider-Man until the last 4 minutes of the episode.
I'm so sorry if anyone got excited that Miles was suited up. I simply was desiring it and trying to manifest it.
Trying to manifest, not happening. Yeah. But no, I agree with you. Yeah, I think there's an interesting idea there. I mean, they have dealt with like the fame thing on this show, like with Screwball and stuff like that. But like, I think that there is an interesting story kernel in there of Peter being tempted, since it is in his history, to have like the first thing he did with his spider powers was to try to get famous. Like that. Yeah. That makes sense, like to address that. But yeah, this episode doesn't really even get close to that.
Right,
because it's kind of introduced. Miles introduces this after Peter already is becoming suspicious of the group. So like, it's too late to introduce that idea, you know?
Right. It's kind of weird. So because he doesn't entertain this at all, He just sort of like moves on to the next thought, which is picking Miles' brain over what Miles would build with basically a list of the stolen tech that he knows has gone missing, right? So he's like, what would you do with this, 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 and this? And it's all just stuff that went missing. And Miles is like, well, I'd build a rocket that would go straight into orbit. Like, what else would you build with that stuff? And Peter's like, yeah, exactly. But what if you also used it to build like a personal jet suit? Because you could do that. And Miles is like, I guess so, but you'd need wings. And this sets off a light bulb in Peter's head, apparently, for what sure is going to get stolen next, I guess.
Yeah, I do like the idea that the same components for building a rocket ship are the same things that you would use for a suit that you wear that flies. But sure, I'll take it. I find that very funny.
It's strange because it's like almost... It feels clever when you first watch it, and then when you think about it, you're like, them leaping from point to point is so weird. It's like, and I don't so think weird. They write it and well enough that the actors can kind of play it as like finishing each other's thoughts. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like they don't enter a weird mind meld where they just understand each other. It just is a way for Peter to be like, I know what's next.
Because Miles is never on the same page as Peter. Peter never really gives him enough information. So Miles is just like, what are you talking about? I don't know, a rocket, I guess. And Peter's like, exactly, and runs off. And it's like, they're never on the same wavelength, so they can't really have a nice back and forth or flow with their conversation.
Right.
And then like, it kind of Miles makes it clear, like, the dots that you're connecting aren't really there. So, yeah. Okay.
Right, because Miles, like, it just is left standing there with the pile of pictures being like, so you're not going to autograph these? Like, he has no idea why Peter suddenly was like, of course, wings. Thanks, Miles, for mentioning wings.
And it's just like, and you know, we're going to harp on the Miles shit forever, but it's just sort of like, in this very episode, Miles is like a big fan of the Wake Riders. Wouldn't it make sense for Peter to be like, I think that they are, you know, stealing this technology, and I think here's what's going on. Not just to have help or whatever, but also because like Miles might be able to give him insight into the Wake Riders that Peter doesn't have, because Miles has been historically familiar and a fan of the Wake Riders, but like he just leaves Miles out of it completely.
Can I give you a version of this episode where Miles is a huge fan of the Wake Riders? Peter introduces the idea that maybe they're stealing things, and Miles feels so betrayed by them, having also started to compete with them as like Spider-Man's promoter, that it becomes like really determined to like take them down in like a funny way.
Idea. It would be fine. I would totally dig that.
Because then you have Miles being like front and center of the story. He doesn't even have to be Spider-Man, because he can be the guy in the guy in the chair, like who's like super determined or like super, and Peter can react to that. And like, I feel like there's so much you can play with having him be a fan. Kind of like in the, remember he, what didn't Miles watch Craven's show? Like, wasn't he the one who was familiar with the show?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he knew all about it. He was like a big fan of it. So like, it's very silly that like they basically set up everything that you just said and then just sort of like, no, we'll just take the most boring possible route, which is he does nothing.
They
it's
just
so weird.
They put blinders on and they charged forward.
They went with like the least fun version of this episode that could have been like, I think that they, you know, the episode before this was heavy and wild and shit enough that they justify just having a fun little breather episode that
I
is just
that.
There for the fun
that.
And comedy. I think that they, but the episode isn't really fun is the problem.
They went too far.
They took an easy route. Like, I don't mind them just having a later episode, but it's like nothing interesting really happens in this one. The least interesting version of everything happens. Like, I'm like, you could have just made this a fun comedy episode.
Derek, this would have been the perfect place to drop an episode that was a series of fun, silly vignettes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not the very first episode of the season. This right here.
Yeah.
Anyway, later that day, the Wake Riders arrive for a stunt near Horizon High, and as they draw people's attention, Barkley breaks into the school and prints a set of wings. So mystery no longer. We see exactly what they're doing. We find out the truth before Spider-Man does, despite it being set up for us to watch Spider-Man figure it out.
Whatever.
So we know that this is happening. Those are the wings Miles was referring to. That was the light bulb that went off in Peter's head. I'm not entirely sure why he knew, I mean, I guess maybe Horizon High is the only place that you could print those off, but nobody names that, so sure, whatever. So Spider-Man confronts Barkley and is like, dude, what the hell? But Barkley is like, you know what, dude? Whatever. It's not even a big deal. Honestly, we're more famous than ever. And like, you helped, man. So like, thanks for that. I will say, Barkley Blitz is an infuriating person because he so swiftly moves right past the point you were trying to make and just like acts like you never made it. Because this is the second time he did this to Spider-Man, where Spider-Man asks, where'd you get that stuff? And he's like, I made it. But what if we teamed up? And in this case, it's like, what are you doing? He's like, well, you caught me stealing wings. But also, thanks for the fame, buddy. Wink.
Yeah, that's a really good observation, because I do think that like he is written well in terms of like that type of characterization, like in doing, because that is a mark of a fun character. I wish that they did a little more with that with him, because I think that honestly, once he sort of turns into just like a Vulture fanboy in a second, he becomes way less interesting. I kind of wish they had gone harder on him being just like way too like overly charismatic and charming to a point that it's obnoxious, you know?
Right, like his actual just, like, superpower is just the Riz. You know, like he initially comes across as this sort of like extreme sports kind of like bro, like borderline surfer bro. And then you realize like, oh, he's actually like, he navigates social situations in a way that like I almost can't keep up.
Yeah.
Like by the time you figure out you got, he's like already, you know, smiling, winking, and out of there, you know?
Yeah, God,
and I think there's something cool about
the universe version of this episode is so fucking fun, and would just like Barkley would be such a fun, memorable character.
Yeah.
Like Miles would have such a fun, like comedy subplot. There would be so much like fun, weird stuff that they do with the extreme sports or something. Peter would be grappling with like his, you know, his past, you know, dealings with fame and stuff. Like so much like meat in this episode that in the better
version.
We're not
allowed to have.
Yeah.
But anyway, he attacks Spider-Man. He compliments him and thanks him, and then he attacks him. So
yeah,
action begins.
Cool. So he's got this newly improved suit now. He uses it to beat the shit out of Spider-Man. Fortunately, Vulture arrives, and it seems like, oh, okay, maybe we're gonna get like a fun like Vulture versus Vulture fight. Like that's kind of a cool idea. And he's got his own newly improved tech. It's modified specifically to defeat the Wake Riders. But Barkley's like, hold up. We're not going to fight. In fact, just like you saw in the previous episode, I am also a major fanboy of a scientist supervillain, and it became my own version of you. In fact, the whole reason we're a team of supervillains called the Wake Riders is because a group of vultures is often called awake. So we are your biggest fans. We want to be just like you. And actually, in fact, this new thing that I built you, that I built for myself, I'm going to give to you because you're my greatest hero. And now, Vulture, you are like a supercharged Vulture, and we can now be Vulture and the Wake Riders.
Yeah.
Okay. Why is it two episodes in a row of like younger fans of a supervillain who has just claimed to be reformed, like now, like doing their work with a whole mystery around who's responsible for what, and then that villain ends up not being reformed at the end?
I don't know, and I don't know why they thought it would be a good idea to have this one come after the Ock one, especially directly after the Ock one. And I feel like this isn't even the first time we've run into this. I don't think it was this show. I want to say it was the 90s show, maybe, where we encountered this sort of same thing where it was like, we just watched this episode last week and it was better last week.
Oh shit. What was that?
Does that sound familiar to you?
No, it sounds familiar, but I don't think that was the 90s show though.
I don't remember. I don't remember which one it was, but I've had this feeling before where I'm like, why would you put this one after the better version of this episode?
Yeah. I wonder if it was like Ultimate Spider-Man or something like that.
It could have been.
I don't know. But yeah, we have seen this before. And it is just, yeah, it's like you go from Carol and Trainer to like the Wake Riders, three of whom don't even have names or say anything. And one of whom is like could be a charming guy, but like doesn't really get to do much other than like, I don't know. It doesn't really, I mean, really, I mean,
yeah,
he could have a bigger personality, but he kind of doesn't, unfortunately.
Carolyn isn't even meant to be like likable or charismatic, and we fell in love with her like instantly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Barkley is well written for what he is, I think, but like they don't let him breathe enough to be charming and fun and likable. Like I'm going to forget about him after this episode is over. Like I just will,
and he doesn't,
unfortunately.
The fact that he just sort of is like, hey, actually I want to team up with you, and like I just have a lot of respect for you and I think it would be cool to work for you. I feel like that like fully robs Barkley of the moment where he like his fanaticism is like broken, or his fanaticism goes too far, or his like,
yeah, he just becomes he's rewarded by becoming a sidekick for Vulture. Not even a sidekick, he's a minion, because the whole group of Wake Riders are just flying around while Vulture commands them, and Barkley isn't even really like a second in command, it feels like,
yeah,
by the end of this episode. And it's sort of like, so why is this the end result of this story, especially when you built the theme of like the parallel between Vulture, you know, being accused of what he's not, and Spider-Man being accused of what he's not. And then with Vulture, it's sort of like, nah, I guess I am though. I'd rather be that. Like, and it's not even like
at
a choice. It's not even
opportunity.
It's not even a hard choice for him. The Wake Rider is just like, hey, you're awesome. Here's some tech. And Vulture's like, okay. Like, I feel like there's something even to the idea of like Vulture being tempted. Like, even if the end result was always going to be Vulture turning back to a life of crime again, I do think there is something interesting about like Barkley being like, oh, I am appealing to you as a scientist. Here is this test. I admire you as a scientist. Here's this tech that I've made because of your great science brain. And then Vulture, I feel like maybe that's what they were trying to do. Maybe like that he's being recognized as a scientist rather than a criminal, but like he's only being recognized as a scientist by other criminals and then decides to join them in being criminals. So like it doesn't really work if they're trying to do something like that, like appealing to his legacy as a scientist rather than his legacy as a criminal.
It's bizarre, because why would their admiration for him as a scientist be the tipping point for him becoming a villain again?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't really make sense. I almost wish that what it ended up being was like, you know, Barkley's fanaticism is like not met with the reaction he would hope upon meeting his hero, and that he pushes and pushes and pushes for Vulture to recognize him, almost in like an Incredibles way, but not like to quite that degree. And that sort of like push and pull breaks both of those characters in a way that they don't necessarily expect. Like if Barkley continues to antagonize Vulture, and then Vulture reacts in a particular way, and then it's sort of like, I've been trying to be good and you have forced my hand. Like it would be almost an interesting thing to watch from Spider-Man's perspective, to see these two characters kind of like push and push and push and push until they both sort of break.
Yeah.
I don't think it fits into necessarily the things I also was saying before, but
right.
I just feel
but
like,
I mean, like
this episode's so nothing that you can go in so many directions at any given point.
I mean, any one path that they could have gone down would have made this episode much more interesting. It's just, again, said it before, like they take the easiest possible route. The Wake Riders seem like they're suspicious. They turn out to be criminals. Vulture claims he reformed. Is he reformed? Not anymore. As soon as the Wake Riders approach Vulture, like tempting him back to the dark side, Vulture's like, okay, sure, immediately back to the dark side. Spider-Man fights Vulture and the Wake Riders, and he beats him. That's it.
Can I bring something back for a second?
Yeah.
Is this just their way of making sure that Vulture's a bad guy again? Is this their reset on Vulture?
When was the last time? What was happening the last time we saw him?
Did we see him? Is this the same Vulture? I might be mixing up Vultures from different shows. Is this the Vulture that Spider-Man like ends up being like, you're a bad guy? And he's like, I was minding my own business. Or is that a different show?
No, this was, because it was with the symbiote suit, right?
That's right. Because then he kept spying on him at Oscorp.
Yeah.
And but that really, was that all before shit hit the fan at Oscorp though?
Yeah, that was early. Because he does end up like helping subdue the symbiote with the Vulture stuff, like, you know, but then he eventually, I think, still joins Norman Sinister Six. Yeah. So like he is always, but so I don't think he ends the season being a good guy or anything. Okay. He's always working for Norman.
Yeah. That wasn't even like within the universe. That was me trying to like explain it outside the universe and it still didn't work.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just, again, why the story, like, I don't mind doing a maybe redemption story for Vulture, but then he slips back into villainy. Like, that's fine if you do it and make it interesting.
Actually, a villain I wouldn't mind a redemption story for. Like, some villains, sure, it fits. Like,
yeah,
like that's what I was talking about earlier, where he has always been somebody who struggled with recognition and he doesn't handle it super well. So, like, you can build that in. And yeah, he can seek redemption and fail and seek redemption and fail. And right, I don't think it would get old with him necessarily as long as you're exploring it in different ways. This could have been an option if he's seeking redemption, mm-hmm, and the Wake Riders sort of bring him back down or drag him back down. You know, yeah, that's one way he could fail at his redemption.
And I wouldn't mind this coming right after the Doc Ock episode if it was like very clear that it's like trying to contrasted in some way, right? Because like with the Doc Ock thing, he was never reformed. He was always manipulating people. With the Vulture thing, supposedly he was actually reformed. Like, he was telling the truth that he didn't want to do villain stuff anymore and just gets tempted immediately back into doing villain stuff. And I think if they were doing something where they were trying to like contrast like two different villain stories, you know, and it's like maybe even if they both have the same end result, like something about them is different in a way that is that has that says something about people. I don't know.
I mean, but
like,
well, that's not the obvious answer. The obvious answer is that Peter specifically didn't believe Vulture because he has a criminal record and did believe, yeah, Barkley because he doesn't have a criminal record. And record, yeah, is important because Barkley doesn't have a record because he's never been caught. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? So the, yeah, natural conclusion would be for Vulture to help Spider-Man defeat the Wake Riders. And that's what's challenging Spider-Man. Were they just not allowed to make that the lesson of the episode, that sometimes, yeah, criminals are good, like convicted criminals or people with criminal records are actually good people, and sometimes people who don't get caught are bad people? Like, yeah, were they not allowed to do that?
Like, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder, too, like, if we're going to see this again, if this is, like, a thing that maybe is meant to be a recurring thing this season of, like, villains trying to reform and then, you know, other people tempt them back into it one or another, or there's some other version of them or something like that. But I was thinking, like, even if that's the case and that ends up being like a recurring thing that they do, this is still going to probably be the weakest version of it, because it's like, there's just no meat on these bones.
I'm not convinced.
It's just like,
I don't know
exactly
what
it is. Yeah, I truly don't. It really is just sort of like, we think you're cool, you should do crime again. And he's like, or if you think I'm cool, then sure. Like, I don't, like, yeah, oh, so the only thing you needed was like validation and a better suit that looks uglier.
Which is could that? That could have been the theme. The Spider-Man is currently wrestling with validation for the wrong reasons. That could have been a theme. Like, you could have played that.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things you could have done with this. What are we doing?
I don't know.
But again, like you said, like narratively, it's like not, there's nothing like broken about this other than like, it is, yeah, it's not a good episode if no one has fun. Like, you know, yeah, what I mean? So yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah, weird. It's so weird. But so, yeah, I mean, weird, that's where it goes, right? Like, Vulture is just sort of like, hey, thanks guys for thinking I'm cool. Let's be a villain team together. You'll do what I say. Great. Attack Spider-Man. Because now I'm bad again, so kill him.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's
like, with no goal in mind, like, what, where, yeah, like, I'm like, what, like, why are they, like, why are they doing this? Like, they're literally just because they can. Like, there's not even any goal at this point, right?
Well, there's, like, no reason for Vulture to really, at least that we see in this episode, like, there's nothing defined for why Vulture would attack Spider-Man. They don't even remind us of anything that would make him. Spider-Man's actually been like pretty great to Vulture, considering. Like, he accuses, yeah, him of something, but never, he doesn't attack him, he doesn't apprehend him, he doesn't,
yeah,
he barely fights him, you know what I mean? And then the Wake Riders have basically been like, you're cool, And then I guess it makes sense for them to fight him once they know that he knows that they're committing crimes.
So they're going to murder him to keep their secret. But then once they do that, so they've got all this stuff. They've got their friend Vulture. Is their goal still going to just be to continue to do stunts and be famous, even though they've got like a super villain on their side now?
According to the end
now?
Of the episode, yes.
And like,
well, yeah, I guess Vulture doesn't factor in, but like.
But I guess the idea could be that like Vulture is still pretending to be reformed. It's sort of like, now that I'm reformed, I'm just going to be a stunt man with the stunt group. And
no.
Them having murdered
Adrian
Spider-Man
Toomes
is just their dirty little
like,
secret. Right.
Adrian
it doesn't
Toomes
make
is not
sense.
Just going to be like a daredevil.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I guess we're jumping to conclusions that they'd permanently be a team. It really is more like their team up to old Spider-Man. And then theoretically they can go their separate ways. Like, it's not like Vulture might be their hero, but it's not like they were always trying to get Vulture to join their team. It was just that they emulated him for their stuff and then had the opportunity to meet him and give him better tech. But like,
I also,
that doesn't mean, I don't know.
I also just don't like the idea that Vulture would even be flattered, because like in the comics, like the whole, like when they reveal that Adrian Toomes isn't dead, like way, 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 way super back. Right. Cause like Vulture was like the first villain in the Spider-Man universe that was like replaced by another like a legacy version of the villain. Mm-hmm. And like, it's because they were like, he's dead or whatever. And then they reveal that he's not dead. And his whole motivation for like becoming the Vulture again is because somebody else is doing it and not good enough. You know what I mean?
That's hilarious.
Right.
I love that.
And
I
like,
love that.
And Adrian Toomes, there's been so many versions of him where he's like, somebody stole my technology and I'm fucking pissed about it. Like, it makes so much more sense to me that he would have pretended to be down with these people and then been like, you are beneath me. Like, how dare you steal my tech? How dare you imitate my tech?
That would have been fucking fun too, and like a really chaotic ending in a way that would match up the chaos of the beginning too.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to see that. That'd be so fun.
Yeah.
But no, they just fight together and fight well and overwhelm Spider-Man.
And then
I guess to murder him. I don't know.
And then in something that feels like a direct attack on us, they finally let Miles suit up, but to like defeat these five Vulture people in like the easiest, like least compelling way possible, which is just like, I'm invisible and they can't see me, so I can web them up, and that gives Spider-Man a fighting chance. And then they just like defeat the Wake Riders, and then Vulture's gone, and so now we just have like Vulture, who's explicitly bad again, out in the universe.
Yeah, again, also in a worse suit. I hate that helmet. I hate the helmet, so ugly. I don't like it.
It's a bummer because
it's annoying.
His suit is like interesting. I don't love the whole suit this in the show, but the helmet was a thing that was cool, so replacing that really makes a huge difference.
It's like, now it's just, it looks like the most generic like robot futuristic tech suit ever made. Like, it's so boring, it's so annoying. And I guess we'll see him again in it at some point, because he's out there and evil again, so it's sort of like, what was the point of this episode, I guess.
But like, why was this the moment that Miles finally got to suit up?
I don't know. Why? And he didn't even really get to do much of anything. Like, I'm glad that he got to be invisible, and I'm like, oh, you did a unique Miles thing, but he didn't.
Right.
Really,
I guess the one thing I don't want to do is have people listen to us bitch and moan about how Miles doesn't get to suit up and then be like, what the fuck was that, when he finally suits up? But like, if you're going to make us wait, like, why was this the moment?
I know. Yeah.
It just is weird. Right. It's all very weird and confusing. I don't understand why they made any of the decisions they made. Vulture's just like out there. He gets away anyway. And then like, and then it's all smoothed over because nobody witnessed what went on except for the Spider-Men, and no one likes them anymore, I guess, because for some reason the public now believes that Spider-Man framed them. But like, for what? Stealing things? Did anyone know that they were stealing things?
Well, I guess he caught them breaking into, that was Horizon, right? That they were at. So maybe if he webbed them up and caught them there and then left your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man note next to a break-in scene, that's probably what it was. But
I thought the ending was super confusing, because like, Vulture gets away, it looked like Miles and Peter had defeated them, and then like the next scene is the promoter being like giving an interview, being like, yeah, Spider-Man framed him, that guy fucking sucks, dude. And then Jameson in the background screaming about how much Spider-Man sucks.
Well, that doesn't necessarily mean they're not getting convicted, though, right? Like, they could be out on bail, but still are going to be put on trial for the evidence that they maybe have against them. And but in the media, the narrative being crafted is that they were framed by Spider-Man. Like, that doesn't necessarily mean they've, like, gotten off on that or something like that.
I don't know. I feel like
it's not clear either way.
I feel like the episode has them, like, walking around, like, chest puff, being like, we're cool and you all love us.
That's true. I mean, it's confusing. And it's now we have the threat of seeing them again, potentially,
please,
which
God,
I'm not looking forward to.
Don't.
We don't need that.
Don't do that.
Unless they're going to do a complete, you know, overhaul and like, reclamation of them and fix everything they did wrong with this. I don't want to see them again.
The way I would want to see them again is if one of the three that never talk, or if all three of them never talk, actually are the focus of that episode and they like revolt against Barkley. I would be down for that.
Or if they show up again and spontaneously all actually have personalities, that's fine. Like that's a better version of it, because at least they are doing something with them, you know. But I think I'm fine with never seeing them again as well.
I actually actively don't want to see them again. Yeah. This is a made for a cartoon villain that I want nothing to do with. And that doesn't happen very often for me.
Wake Riders is also kind of a bad name too. Now they think, like, I understand why IMDb called them Wave Riders by accident, because Wake Riders is just like, it doesn't, well, like, it really feels forced that it's just like vultures are awake, so it's Wake Riders. It's extreme sports.
It's a bummer because I do think the Wake thing is cute and clever. Sure. I don't really understand the Riders part other than to make it sound like an extreme sports team. So like,
I think that's all it is.
I think maybe I'm higher on it than you are, because I do think it sounds like an extreme sports team, and then the reveal is like, it's actually an homage to our hero, this villain.
I guess so.
But it doesn't sound nice to say, I guess.
Yeah.
Wave Riders feels more correct.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Anywho, this episode does end, and it ends right here. The two Spider-Men are just sitting around being like, oh, the world hates us again, which is the only acknowledgement that we ever have that Miles is even aware of the fact that people don't like Spider-Man.
And then I'm still like, are you sure? Are you just being nice, making Peter feel better by pretending people hate you too? Because I've gotten no indication that they hate more than one Spider-Man.
Well, is Miles the one that is like, why do we do this if everybody hates us? Is he the one who asked that question?
Yeah, he is. So... I guess that's the most acknowledgement we're ever going to get, it seems like. But yeah, he is the one who does it, because then it's Peter who's like, no, we have to look for the good in the world. And I'm like, this feels like, I don't know, it feels like this could have been an opportunity.
It's reversed. It should be reversed.
Yeah, it feels, because Miles has been so, like, I feel like none of this justifies any of it, but I could get a little bit more behind the idea that it's like, if the explanation is just like, Miles just doesn't care what the media says one way or another, and it's Peter who's really hung up on all of this, and Miles just being like, and Peter asking Miles like, why aren't you bothered by all of the Spider-Man Menace stuff? And then Miles is just like, I just see the good in things. If this is, we're Spider-Man and it's cool and we get to do good, and that's all that matters to me. That makes more sense, and I feel like the only reason they swap it is because they feel like Peter has to be in the mentor situation, or in the mentor seat, and that Peter has to have the last line to teach
Miles a lesson. Sometimes the mentee teaches the mentor, and it's effective.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have answered a question we've been asking for several episodes now, which is, what does Miles think about all this, and does he care? And that would have answered our question. We wouldn't be wondering moving forward.
Yeah.
Now we move forward with Miles being shook for some reason.
Yeah. Out of nowhere, even though none of this seemed to have anything to do with him, and he hasn't really been involved in anything. So I don't know.
Whatever. They high five a kid and then the episode ends.
I really thought, because there's a pause between Peter Spider-Man high-fiving him and Miles Spider-Man high-fiving him, and I really thought it was going to be only Peter high-fives them. I genuinely thought that that's what it was going to be, because it just really feel, because just show just does not like Miles as Spider-Man at all, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of face of the episode, there wasn't really any, I couldn't really find anything good for this episode, to be honest, but I do appreciate what Miles does finally run off to suit up as Spider-Man. There's just a rando kid that's standing next to him. When he first runs off, the kid's like surprised and then immediately gives this like incredibly annoyed kind of like, what the hell is up with that kid look? That really was my reaction, just sort of like, oh, like a little bit of surprise. Like, oh, Miles is finally seeing him as Spider-Man. And I'm like, wait, he's finally suiting up as Spider-Man with less than 4 minutes left of the episode, four episodes into the season. Actually, no, this, I'm just annoyed by this, actually.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I said this was an aggressively fine episode. I think it's a bad episode. It's just not a good episode.
Yeah.
It's bad. I think it's one of the worst episodes of this show that we've seen so far.
I was wondering if that was actually going to be where we landed on, and I'm not surprised. The more we talked about it, the more it was just like where we found just like...
Yeah. And it's not... Yeah. I want to clarify, it's not even just because we were able to come up with better versions of the episode. I think even those things aside, there's enough weird, confusing stuff in this episode that isn't, that doesn't even build on itself that I do think at first we were like, there's nothing broken about this. There's nothing narratively wrong. But yeah, actually there is.
It's actually worse written than I thought it was, and I think
which
that,
is so weird, Mark. Yeah, Mark, what happened?
I mean, his his name was on the script, but you know, sometimes the people whose name is credited as being the writer didn't actually do a lot of the writing. Maybe he was only on one episode because he submitted a freelance script or something like that.
Sure,
and then it got heavily rewritten to death and became this. You know.
They stripped out all the interesting things he would have included.
Right.
That's what I'm choosing to believe for my own
peace. I'd like to believe that. Otherwise, our feud with Mark Hoffmeyer, our Twitter feud with Mark Hoffmeyer might have to be reignited.
Wait, hold on. Am I supposed to, should I fuel the feud then?
Yeah, we got to start posting. I mean, you know what though? Like probably in the episode description, when this episode goes up on Twitter, it's not going to be a nice description about our feelings. And if he sees that, you might see Mark Hoffmeyer responding yet again. Which again, to be clear, it's all in good fun. I invite it. He can roast us as much as he wants. I know he doesn't listen to the podcast.
Right. So he doesn't get to hear us praising him far more than we ever criticize him.
That's the only reason it comes up is because he's only ever heard negative little snippets from things and assumes that we're just being mean about a children's cartoon.
Whatever. And, we actually think you rule, but.
Yeah, he's actually genuinely one of the best writers in the history of Spider-Man cartoons. That's why we make the jokes about the feud, because it's very, very funny.
But
and it's not even a feud. It's literally one tweet that he responded to.
This
one
episode,
time,
so. Mark. This episode. What the hell?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm done. Hey, I'm surprised that we made it over an hour of conversation about this one. I wasn't really sure if we were going to. So, you know,
I would say 33% of that at least is us trying to figure out how to make this a more fun episode.
Yeah.
So if none of that were there, this would be a lot shorter. But hey, if you want to hear us listen to things that we almost always enjoy more than we enjoyed this episode, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/wallopingwebsnappers. I don't think there is much. Maybe there's like one thing I can think of off the top of my head, maybe two things that would contend. But for the most part, it's usually stuff we enjoy more than this episode. And check out our Discord. There's a link in the show notes, and there are people talking all about their favorite shows in channels dedicated to each Spider-Man cartoon. You can also find us all over the place. Derek, where can people find you and the things you are working on?
Sure thing. You can find me on Twitter at Derek B. Gale. You can also find me on other platforms under either that name or Dare Bear, Mr. Dare Bear. And you can listen to my podcast Gimmicks, where we do, where we look at the high concept, experimental, structure breaking, gimmicky episodes of television with my co-host David. And that is part of the Glitter Jaw Collective. And you can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also follow me on Twitch at Mr. Dare Bear, where I stream VHS recordings of TV airings with the original commercial in that beautiful beautiful, nostalgic, lo-fi quality. So if you want to get a nice throwback to TV you used to watch and commercials that are that you didn't know were implanted in your brain, definitely check out my Twitch and, you know, find my schedule. I usually stream some Thursdays and Sundays. What about you, Doug?
You can find me all over the place at Icky Booley, IckyBooley. You can also listen to me on a podcast called Victory Road. It's a Pokemon podcast. You can also hear me on a Glitterjaw production called Novel Gaming, where my friend Katie and I get together and catch up on all of the books and video games we have been consuming lately. If you'd like to find other queer creators to talk about media, check out that Glitterjaw Queer Podcast Collective at glitterjaw.com. That also includes Doug and Derek's new Doug and Derek Us, our, the two of us, our
podcast.
I wanted
to make it clear in the notes that it's the two of us doing it, but I didn't know a better way to do that, because we always end up having to just be like, by the way, that's Doug and I doing another one, right? You know, so maybe there's a better way to clarify that for the future.
I just had a teleprompter moment. Normally, like, you know, we interpret as we go, and I just had like a full read word for word moment there. But Derek and I have a new podcast on Glitterjaw called Screonk. It's a Godzilla movie marathon where we are stomping through Godzilla's filmography, and our episode on Godzilla Raids Again actually will be out next week. So be sure to check that out. Also check out our website at wallopingwebsnappers.com. Follow Walloping Web Snappers on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Walloping Web Pod, or email us at wallopingwebsnapperspodcast@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe on all podcast platforms, especially for Screonk, since that's still a new podcast, but for anything we're doing together. And next week, Spidey teams up with Ms. Marvel.
Oh, thank God.
I know, right? It's got to be better than this.
It's got to be better than this.
In an episode called School of Hard Knocks.
Oh, I can't wait. See you then.
Bye.